Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity of National Review is back with us to start the week. And Jim, as always, good news, bad news, crazy news for conservatives. And for the second time in the last few weeks, we've got some really good news from the U.S. Supreme Court. We celebrated not too long ago the fact that they were not only taking up the Obamacare case, but giving it an historic number of hours of oral arguments, at least in terms of recent times. Now we get word here on Monday that they will be hearing the appeal from the state of Arizona after that state lost at the district and appellate court levels in trying to enforce tougher immigration laws, essentially the laws that are on the books in many cases, but the federal government either doesn't have the resources or has no desire to enforce. The Obama administration challenged those laws and got victories at the earlier two levels. And so Arizona, which actually wants to protect our border, still has a shot at seeing this upheld. It's obviously going to be controversial, especially in an election year, but the fact that actually defending the nation might get a shot at the Supreme Court got to be pretty encouraging.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm not certain this is going to turn out the way a lot of conservatives would like to see. I think that on the very strict merits of the law, I mean, the administration might argue, look, protecting the border is solely a federal responsibility. It doesn't say anything about the states doing so. And as a result, you know, that they may very well persuade five justices that Arizona has overstepped its bounds. In fact, I think this I'll spot you four, Greg.
I was going to say.
The real question is, what mood is Kennedy in that day? And we'll see how it shakes out. Having said that, I think that it'd be interesting to see what the reasoning is, because I think that Arizona can make a very strong argument that certain aspects of federal duties are just not being done. And so you could probably even argue, I think Senator John Kyle certainly kind of suggested that the administration was not interested in enforcing the law, that Obama was holding enforcement hostage, so to speak, until he could get some sort of amnesty deal. So the question would then be, well, so what does it do for the states? What are the states supposed to do if the federal government refuses to perform its duties? The Supreme Court justices might say, nothing, you're in trouble. But I have a feeling that, you know, that at the very least, you know, five justices will see how fundamentally problematic that is. That this isn't the way that the federal government is supposed to be set up, that if they see a political benefit to not enforce a particular law, they won't do so. So not necessarily overwhelmingly optimistic, but hey, let's get these things hashed out. Let's get these things decided. If nothing else, we should have a clearer sense of what kind of a law a state could pass to be constitutionally viable and to actually get some serious enforcement going on.
Absolutely right. You could probably spot me four justices on the other side too. As we mentioned, Justice Kennedy is probably going to be the one to make the final call here. But we mentioned Obamacare a moment ago, and that's headed to the Supreme Court. And it's still a major issue in the presidential campaign, not just when the eventual Republican nominee takes on President Obama, but also in the current race for the Republican nomination, since Newt Gingrich has supported individual mandates in the past, and Mitt Romney certainly has as well, given that it's a major part of the healthcare plan that he championed in Massachusetts and signed into law and has been defending and deflecting ever since he decided to run for president. And Rick Perry has mentioned that in the original publication of one of Mitt Romney's books, he talked about how his plan in Massachusetts might be a good national model and how it's not in the introduction or epilogue or whatever part of the book it was in the paperback or second printing of the version. And, well, Mitt Romney had had enough on Saturday night at their latest encounter, an ABC News debate in Iowa.
I'm just saying, you were for individual mandates, my friend.
Yeah, you know what? You've raised that before, Rick. And you're simply wrong.
It was true then.
No.
It's true now.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
I'm not in the betting business, I'll show you the book.
I've got the book.
And so the problem for Romney in the last 48 hours has been that he's out of touch. Who would bet $10,000 on something like that? And Jim, I think the big mistake that Mitt Romney made there is he didn't learn the lesson of Randolph and Mortimer Duke from Trading Places. If you're going to make radical bets on the fly, always bet a dollar or at least offer to donate it to charity if that's the case. But that little touch there in a state like Iowa is probably not going to go over greatly.
Yeah, I would just kind of note, Greg, that my standard unit of wager is a donut. When I'm feeling really confident, I will bet two donuts to someone. I will bet two donuts that we hear a lot more about this throughout the year, and that at some point I will bet a separate donut that at some point Obama sneers something about $10,000 being a lot of money to a lot of Americans. He'll probably do this at a $38,000 per head fundraiser, completely oblivious to the fact that he is, coming, every bit the hypocrite or anything. I mean, I heard from a bunch of Mitt Romney fan readers who were irked that I mentioned this in the Morning Jolt. They think everybody's making too much of this. You know, Romney was really confident that Perry's point about the book text changing was wrong and that he really wanted to emphasize that. And I suppose we can argue that this is much ado about nothing or much ado about, making a mountain out of a molehill. Having said that, I just want to observe the underlying circumstance of this is that, one, Romney's on the attack, and he's on the attack against a guy who's in low single digits in most states. That's kind of strange. Strange. Also, number two is that, look, Greg, if I had bet you a donut, because that's what I do, that we'd have a gambling controversy in this race. And it's going to come from the conservative Mormon and the Texas riverboat gambler shoot from the hip cowboy isn't going to take the bet. I think I would have won that donut. You know, you would never believe that would have come to pass. So this is probably not the biggest mistake Mitt Romney's ever going to make. Having said that, I think Mo Lane had put it well. He said, look, the problem is that this kind of reinforces this perception of Romney, that he's a very rich guy and he's kind of out of touch with the way life is lived for most Americans. I think he just could have, you know, the next time just bring the book. Just bring the book, show the text, and, you know, use that to prove the point. There are probably bigger things to worry about with Mitt Romney, but it just, I think he's feeling a little rattled these last couple of days, particularly with Newt seeming to surge.
Yeah, seemingly. And Newt reminding people at every possible opportunity that he is the front runner by an ever-growing margin. So the idea of trying to downplay expectations apparently hasn't hit the Gingrich camp yet, but we'll see what happens as we get closer to January 4th. Speaking of which, we're about to hit the real voting for 2012, and for the first time since 1976 that neither a Bush nor a Clinton either ran for president or was on the national ticket. But Chelsea Clinton could very well be part of this campaign because she's now joining NBC. She's going to be a special correspondent for, I think the show's called Rock Center on Monday night with Brian Williams. It's on against Monday Night Football, so I haven't seen it. But I understand they do journalism there, or at least some sort of thing attempting to be journalism. And but the idea that they're hiring people like Chelsea Clinton and Meghan McCain and some of these other people just further, I think, Jim, goes down the path of what we're seeing with MSNBC and just that there's absolutely no even pretense of objectivity anymore. Chelsea Clinton is a very smart individual. She was very classy, very helpful, I think, as much as possible to her mother's campaign in 2008. But the idea that she's going to be some sort of objective reporter on any serious story is pretty hard to believe.
Well, my issue is less the objectivity, although I think you raise a perfectly fine point here. I would note that for much of Chelsea Clinton's life in the public eye, my attitude has been, well, look, we don't choose our parents. It's not like she wanted to be the daughter of an infamous president and an infamous first lady and soon to be infamous, infamous secretary of state. So there's ordinarily want to lay off her. And then she takes this role, which will put her in the public eye. So, hey, you know what? Chelsea Clinton, you're kind of fair game for criticism now. I just marvel a couple of things. One, you heard that how the interview process with NBC News went, right, Greg?
Oh, I'm sure it was rigorous.
Her rep said to NBC she wants to do this, and NBC said, what do you feel like covering? And that was it. Now, this is not how I got my job in journalism. I'm pretty sure it's not how you got – first of all, we don't have reps, for starters.
Right.
But this is, this is turning NBC News into a daycare center for politicians' children. I am marveling at – I mean, my guess is that sometime between now and middle of next year, Sasha and Malia will be joining NBC News as special correspondents on the covering the Obama campaign, telling us what their dad is doing. Seeing a politician's child jump to the top ranks of journalism does not really, create warm and fuzzy feelings in my part as a journalist. I think NBC News has had some layoffs. I know there was a similar grumbling when Christiane Amanpour got signed for boku bucks for ABC News after they had laid off like one third of their Washington bureau. So the idea of these celebrity correspondents doesn't really add much to the quality of the journalism. Greg, are you aware of her absolutely fascinating debut story tonight?
It's something about a charity in Arkansas, isn't it?
A program for needy children in Arkansas. Hot breaking news, right? Stop the presses. Where's the drudge siren? I have no idea what she's making with NBC News. You got to imagine it's got to be a pretty penny. Not that she needs it. You know, her dad's doing speeches and getting money from John Corzine's fund and all that stuff. So it just is, you know, if you want to see everything what's wrong with politics and journalism, it's going on in this circumstance. And, Chelsea Clinton seems like a nice enough girl, or I guess it's a young woman as is. But again, why is NBC News turning into this spotlight and showcasing celebrity daughters of politicians? I just don't understand what's going on there. But, they're running a network and I'm not. So,
Yeah,
it's an unfair world, Greg. That's my closing point.
These celebrity correspondents really haven't panned out that well. I mean, Tiki Barber was a complete flame out as a special reporter. And I know they signed Jenna Bush for a while. I don't know if she's still there, but she certainly hasn't done a lot as far as I know. So
I suppose you could argue the one success, and I'm making air quotes as I say it. I mean, Stephanopoulos is not bad in his role. And I actually think he was not that bad as a Sunday show host. But having said that, one, they generally come from Democratic campaigns. I guess you could say the Bush daughters and, Meghan McCain. But didn't Meghan McCain say that Bachman was, more smarter or something?
Right. Than Sarah Palin, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, enjoy all the emails you're going to get today after you're saying good things about George Stephanopoulos, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Jim.
Well, look for me on this week next Sunday.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.